so great to be here sharing the word with you tonight. Tonight I'm going to talk about belonging. But who's ever watched a show about a long-lost relative or, you know, those shows where they go and search for a long-lost relative and then they reunite and it's really happy and quite emotionally moving? Often there's a story of a child who was adopted and then the adopted child goes out to find their birth parent, their biological parent, and sets off on this life mission to do so. And when you're watching these shows, it's usually a happy reunion, and that's why it's nice to watch, and some sadness and happiness in it together. You know, I have many cousins all over the world. My aunties and uncles live in America and South Africa, and so I haven't met a lot of my cousins. But one of my cousins is actually a real life princess. But you can ask me afterwards if you're interested. It's not Princess Mary. I'll leave you guessing, but that's a legit fact. But does anybody else have a famous relative? Somebody here has a famous relative. One person, two people have famous, three people have famous relatives. Awesome. And talking about family, though, one issue that's super close to my heart and is an area that I would, you know, love to one day advocate on or be a solution to myself is hearing about children in foster care. And before I go on, if speaking about, because I'll talk about some family things, if anything actually brings up issues for you, please come and talk to myself or one of our team afterwards. But you know, there's over 45,000 children in foster care in Australia. So anytime I hear about it, you know, when children have to be removed from their parents because of the inability of their parents to raise them. And I read this story about a boy called Eli. And Eli had been in foster care for almost 3 years and he'd lived in a dozen different families, each one kind of in their way. Each one was kind in their way, but none actually felt like home for him. And every night he would lie in his bed clutching the small, worn photograph of his mother. He'd never forgotten her, even though he was just five when she was taken away. The social workers said she wasn't able to care for him, that she was trying to get better. But Eli had only one memory of her face, soft and sad as she said goodbye. Now at eight, Eli had stopped asking about her. The other kids at the group home had stopped asking too. But every year on his birthday, he would make a wish, just in case, I want to see my mum again. One rainy afternoon, a social worker named Mrs. Harper walked into the common room with a warm smile. Eli, there's someone who wants to see you. Eli felt a mix of excitement and fear. He followed Mrs. Harper into a small room where a woman sat, nervously twisting her hands. When she looked up, Eli's breath caught in his throat. It was her. Mum, his voice was small but hopeful. Tears welled up in the woman's eyes as she stood. Eli, she whispered, her voice breaking. It's me. I've been waiting for this day and I've worked so hard to be here. Eli ran to her without thinking, throwing his arms around her, and for a moment the world felt still, like time had stopped. She smelled like the old perfume he remembered, and her arms wrapped around him with a warmth he had forgotten. I'm so sorry, she said, her voice full of pain. I wasn't ready before, but I'm ready now. I'll never leave you again. Eli pulled back slightly, studying her face as if to make sure she was real. You promise? I promise, she whispered. And in that moment, Eli knew that this wasn't just a dream. It was the beginning of a new chapter, one where his mother would finally be there, and together they could begin to rebuild what had been broken. And that, I'm sure, moves your heart as it moves mine. And the plight of kids separated from their parents is really sad. And I'm sure many of you have seen the movie Annie. I love the remake version. And how desperate she was to find her parents. And as the movie goes on, it becomes clear that she's not going to be able to find them. But what she was really after and what she was searching for was that sense of belonging. Because in belonging is where she wanted to find or where she would find her identity. Because our identity is found in the place where we belong. We don't find our identity in isolation. We find our identity in who we belong to. And where we belong. And as children, our identity is found in our parents or in the people who raised us. And from that relationship, we gain that sense of security. And that's why children who haven't experienced relationship with their parents, and perhaps kids who are abused or neglected or grow up then suffering from an internal brokenness, often feeling very insecure because they've never experienced that sense of belonging and the security that comes in belonging to a family. And then when we grow up, some of us get married, and then in that we belong to a new family, we belong to our spouse. And that sense of self or identity is then found in the couple, the two becoming one. You have your own identity, but then you have an identity together with your husband or your wife as a union. But those who don't feel a sense of belonging in their family often search for that belonging in other ways, and that could be in their friend groups, sometimes in unhealthy relationships. Sense of self and that sense of identity that we receive through relationship with others and particularly those who care for us. Because whether we like it or not, we are dependent upon others. We are born dependent and we die dependent, and we fool ourselves if we think that we can do life alone. Each one of us are emotionally dependent upon other human beings. There was a study in a Romanian orphanage, part of the Bucharest Early Intervention Project, that investigated the effects of maternal isolation, so a child being separated from their mother in early childhood. In Romania during the 1990s, many children were placed in overcrowded orphanages because of state policies. And those children experienced severe neglect with little and no interaction with their mothers or with stable caregivers. And all of that led to profound developmental delays in these kids. Some children were later placed in foster care as part of the study. But the results showed the devastating effects of early isolation, that children in institutional care exhibit cognitive delays, attachment disorders, and emotional problems. They struggled with forming relationships. They have difficulty regulating emotions and experience behavioral issues. Many children also showed delays in their physical growth. However, those that were placed in foster care before the age of two showed remarkable improvements, while those placed after 2 years showed some improvement but continued to face significant challenges. So that study just highlighted the critical importance of early and consistent maternal care and attachment for healthy emotional, social, and cognitive development. You know, when a baby is held by its mother, the neuropathways, and my oldest is certainly the one who wants to be the most independent. Aiden has a drive to be independent. From the moment he could walk, he wanted to dress himself and put on his own shoes, and he would yell at me, "I do it, I do it." Has anybody else got a kid like that? "I do, I do." And so I couldn't dress him. So he had to pick his own. I couldn't choose his outfit. I couldn't even feed him. He would want to do everything himself. And so he grew up pretty quick because he demanded the right to do it himself. But as much as he longs for independence, he's still only 15 and he lives at home and he doesn't earn much money and he doesn't have his license. So just because he has a phone and a bank account, it does not make him independent. For all the teenagers out there, just because you have a bank account and a phone, it doesn't make you independent. Put your hand up, actually. Who's still dependent upon their parents? Some adults putting up their hand there as well. Now, I asked my 10-year-old son, Solomon, what he learned about kids' church this morning, and he said teamwork. And I saw the scripture that was the scripture that they're learning, which is in Ecclesiastes, which is the scripture that says two are better than one. And then they did this game in kids' church where they separated into groups and they all had to do a drawing, and the best drawing won. And the group that won had five people, and the group that he was in had only three people. So his reasoning for the reason why they won was because they had more people in their team, and that's why they won. But Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 to 12 shows this power of team, of being more than one, because two are better than one. They have good return for their labor. If one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You know, each one of us here are part of the body of Christ. We are all interconnected. We're like pieces of a Lego sculpture, meaningless if we're all separated in our own little bits, but so meaningful when we're all placed together. And if you haven't had the privilege of being part of a well-functioning family, which is the case of many people in our society today, well, you are being here means you are a member of the body of Christ. When you give your heart to Jesus, you become part of God's family and this unit where we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, which makes you part of the largest family on earth. Not only do you have brothers and sisters in Christ in the room here, you have brothers and sisters in Christ in Africa and America and Europe and Asia and all over the world. Anyone who calls God their father makes you a brother and sister with them. And that's where we get our identity. You know, why does God call us children? Because in our minds, children brings up a sense of dependency, of helplessness, of neediness, of trust. We look to our parents for love and for provision and for security. We are physical children of our parents, but we are spiritual children of God, because spiritually, every single one of us is hungry, vulnerable, needy, empty, and literally spiritually dead without Christ. And the reason why he calls us fully grown adults children is because we will never grow out of our dependency upon God. Yes, we mature and we build strength, we build resilience, we build character. All of us should be doing that as we grow. But we will always be, we never graduate from being children of our Heavenly Father, because we will always be in need. No matter how hard we try to fulfill our own needs, we will always be left wanting. Because he is the one who, when we feel weak, he is the one who gives us strength. You know, he is our shepherd, so we don't have to fear our future. He is the one with all wisdom, so we don't even need to fear not knowing what to do. He's the one who calms the storm when we can't, in our strength, calm it. And when we know that we belong to our Heavenly Father, then we know that we are completely secure in him. We don't even need to fear our reputation or what people think of us, because we know that our identity is children of God. We don't need to fear lack of finance, because he's our Heavenly Father and he will provide. And that's where identity is found. It's found in belonging to the Father as children of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." So if God then calls us children, then what should be our posture when we're coming to him? Well, our posture should be that of children. In Mark 10, verse 13 to 16, it says, "And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a small child should not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." If you just think of the image of the little girl filled with joy, you know, when we're walking through this life, we're often not going to have every single one of our wants provided for, every single one of our, even our needs. You think, well, she needs to walk. Well, she's not able to walk, but she has a wheelchair and she's grateful to God. The spirit of a child, she's just so thankful. She's not thinking and calculating all of the things that she doesn't have. She's just grateful of what was provided for her. And that's just such a beautiful spirit that we should come to, you know, with God. God, I might not have this, but I have this, God. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for what you've provided to me. Because as a child of God, I know that you will provide every single one of my needs as you will. And that makes us joyful. So we think upon that, receiving the kingdom of God like a child. And I know that a big part of me building security into my own kids is talking to them a lot, speaking with them. And nearly I just have a solid chat. And it's so precious that time is really protected. It's almost like a sacred moment between myself and each child as I sit on their bed. And we talk because, you know, I know that they need me. They're still dependent children. And I love them and I want them to know that I'm there for them and that I care. And this is exactly the same motivation that every single one of us should have in our prayer life. Except we're the children and we're talking to our Heavenly Father. And we come to Him with an eagerness to talk, an eagerness to have that sacred moment where we're there speaking and developing that connection and relationship with Him because we need Him. Like a child needs their parents, we are children of God and we need our Heavenly Father. I need to speak to Him because I need the security of knowing that He's there, that He's listening, that He cares, that He's hearing every single one of my requests, my concerns, my anxieties, and He's giving me peace in that moment. He's giving me perspective. He's giving me wisdom. That moment is so precious. The Bible says, cast your burdens upon Him because He cares for you. And so that moment when we come to Him as a child would come to their parents sharing about, you know, sometimes the kids, they'll talk to me ages about just the events and the things that have happened in their day at school and I just listen and take it in and then try to give some advice. But that's exactly the way God even more so feels about us. He wants us to come and offload and share our concerns and share our anxieties, share our confusion so then He can come and by the Holy Spirit give us what we need and give us the answers for our situation. Because the relationship that we have with God is one of close intimacy, that of a father to a child. And that's where we find freedom, freedom from stress and conflicts with people. When I know that He's the righteous judge and that He's the one who can discern the thoughts and intents of people's hearts, He's the God who can bring reconciliation to situations where I'm powerless to do so. We find freedom and intimacy only when we utterly depend upon Him for every single one of our needs. Romans 8:15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." The spirit of adoption we receive through the spirit of His Son. So through the Holy Spirit, we know, we have a revelation that we are children of God. And I just want to ask you, can you remember that moment where you were filled with the spirit of adoption? Do you remember the moment where it all switched on for you when you realized, I'm a child of God, and where you felt secure in that identity in who you are? For me, that moment was when I was 9 years old. I was only a kid. And I was worshiping at home, and I was worshiping to the song, if any people over 40 would remember, "I'm your child, I give my life to you, wholly available, faithful and true. And in my life, let your light be seen so that the world may know I'm your child." And I was just singing that song alone at home, and I felt the Holy Spirit come into the room. And the thing that I could identify that was in my mind during that moment was, I'm God's child. I'm a daughter of God. I'm God's. And I was filled with joy. And I started, you know, I had this sort of encounter moment where I was overcome by the Holy Spirit and I had tears and I was happy and all of that. But from everything changed for me. I was only 9 years old, but everything changed for me. I knew that I was God's child. And when I went to school, I knew I was His child. And every time I had a difficulty, I would be conscious of God being with me. And that's so my desire for my children, that when they go to school and they face difficult times and when kids are being kids and saying dumb stuff, that they know God is with me and God can help me and He's for me and He's not against me, because so much security comes and so much confidence comes in knowing who we are and that we belong to God. And, you know, I could preach for an hour, and I definitely won't, but on how a healthy and disciplined life comes from this foundation. Everything is built on the foundation of knowing that we are a child of God. This message isn't too immature or too weak or too soft for anybody. This is actually a message that if we truly understood and we truly practiced every day, then all of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of a Christian life, of good works, of overcoming difficult situations, all of it is found in knowing that we are children of God. If you're struggling with temptation, know that you're a child of facing bitterness or unforgiveness in your life. If you just can't forgive that person who did that thing to you, you know, when you know that you're a child of God and when you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, your perspective changes. You're not worried about the people who did something bad to you anymore because you're just so grateful of what God has done in you, and He gives you the strength and ability to forgive by His Spirit. All that comes from being secure in your identity and knowing that you are a child of God. We can so easily stray from our dependence upon God. So easy. Every single day we can do it. We can try to do things in our own strength, in that independent, I want to dress myself, I want to do it my way, I want to feed myself, the sort of attitude of a two-year-old we can take on into our adulthood. I do it. I do it. I do it. We can be distracted just by the things of this world, things that we face every single day, the worries of our finances and stress of things and work issues. We're distracted by the issues that are driven by our own needs and the need that we think we have to fill in our own strength. I need to get it done. I'm a person who loves getting things done. So it's like, I need to get it done, and then I need to move on and get that next thing done, and then I need to get that next thing done, and then, you know, very soon I've got to remember, wait a second, peace. I know that I'm a child. He's got it in His hands. I don't need to do all this in my own strength. We think we need to even heal our own hurts. You know, sometimes we walk around with our own pain and with our insecurities or our bitterness. We just walk around with it. But the moment that we're humble enough to allow God to fill us with His Spirit and actually replace our sadness with His joy, it takes humility to do that. It takes a decision that you go, okay, I'm going to let go of my anger. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to lay it down. But the moment that we do that, God comes rushing in with the healing. But it takes a moment of humility and surrender where we come to God as a child and we say, okay, I can't do this. Okay, I don't want to hold this bitterness. I don't want to hold this anger. I don't want to hold this unforgiveness. I don't want to hold this rejection. I don't want to hold this insecurity. The moment that we do that, He comes in. But it's a daily discipline where we've got to keep allowing Him to come in because we get distracted. But we remember that we're a child of God. We remember who He is. We remember the answers that are in Him. And it's in humility, laying down our pride and trying to sort it out ourselves, that He then comes in, rushing in by His Spirit to fulfill our every single need. So we need to have that mindset where we are completely 100% and absolutely dependent upon God. You know, some of you don't know, but I'm in a role in my workplace where It's got a lot of influence in the nation, and the decisions that I make within my team have repercussions. And I know that I can't do this in my own strength. I absolutely know that. And so every single day I have to be on my knees before God. I absolutely have to be praying for His strength. I have to be praying for His wisdom and then move forward confidently knowing that He's with me, that He's prepared the way. And if I make a mistake, praying that by His grace that He will make whatever I might have done wrong, that He will make it right. And I just know that as I continue to do that daily, He will continue to point the organization that I work for in the right direction as I'm being led by Him. But that's for everybody, no matter what you're doing in your life, He is with you. You need to know, for those at school, at high school, that God is with you. At primary school, God is with you at your school. Whatever you're facing, nothing is too big or nothing is too little for God to intervene into your situation and resolve whatever issues you're facing with your friend groups. At university, perhaps you're encountering teaching that is so unbiblical and you're really challenged by it. Perhaps you're with a group that is just so opposed to anything you share in your faith. Pray. Pray to God. Come to Him as a child. He will give you what you need for that situation. At your work, dealing with personal issues, nothing is too big or little for God to deal with. We got to daily remind ourselves every single day that we are children of God and come to Him, as the verse said, from that spirit of adoption, knowing that I'm coming to you as Abba Father, as somebody I have an intimate relationship with, as somebody that I know cares for me deeply and bringing him every worry, every anxiety and every care. When we have the worship team come forward. I just want to speak to you in this place. You know, perhaps you're here and you might not have a relationship with God. Perhaps as I was sharing about that moment that I had when I realized I was a child of God, perhaps you've been calling yourself Christian, but you don't really have that deep revelation that you are his child. You know, there is something that happens, and I believe it's when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that something turns on. It's hard to explain. I was listening to Russell Brand. Anybody listening to him lately? He became a Christian quite radically, and he's putting up these really cool posts and testimonies of his encounter with Jesus. And he talks about it, and he's like, it just all switched on. It just all made sense. And that's kind of the moment that we have with God, where he fills us with his Spirit, and then, whoa, you know, like, wow, the light has been switched on. It's our born-again moment. And if you haven't had that moment and you've always struggled with your faith, you know, perhaps it's because you haven't opened up to the Holy Spirit, or you haven't had that moment where you've had that revelation that you are a child of God. Well, we're going to believe tonight that God's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, and so that you will call upon him as Abba Father. And it's not ever invited God into your life. Well, you can do that tonight as well. And for the rest of us, we can just pray for a fresh encounter. We can pray for that moment again. You know, I certainly know that there's people in this room that, you know, we go through ups and downs in our walk with God. And when we come to church, it's one of those moments where we can ask for a refreshing touch. God, remind me of who I am. Remind me of my position in the kingdom. Remind me that I'm a daughter of God. Remind me that I'm a son of God. Remind me that through Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit and that Spirit of adoption. God, remind me that I am an heir of your kingdom. You see, everything that's in the kingdom belongs to us because we are heirs of the kingdom of God. And our eternity is secure. And your life here on earth is secure no matter what you face, because you have a heavenly Father who knows you and can meet every one of your needs as he wills. And even if you feel he doesn't meet that specific need, it's probably because he's got a higher purpose.